The passage read just now is the passage around which our study will revolve. We are going to bow our heads as we ask God to be with us as we look to His Word for guidance. Let us pray. Gracious, merciful, holy, everlasting God in heaven, we come in the name of Jesus Christ. We come, my God, acknowledging that the privilege to approach your throne of grace in prayer is made available through Jesus Christ and what He has done at Calvary for us. In His sacrifice at Calvary, my God, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ has opened the way for us to come to You. We come this morning saying thanks for the privilege of prayer. Thanks, my God, that we can at will come to You with whatever our issues, our challenges, our problems, our desires, we can take them to You knowing that not only are You able, my God, to help, but You are willing to help us. As we come this morning, giving You thanks and acknowledging the fact that we need You, giving You thanks for Jesus Christ and the privilege we have through Him, we beg additionally that You will be with us as we study Your Word. It is the point at which You speak to us through Your Word. We, my God, acknowledge the importance of listening to You. We therefore ask that You guide our minds, our thoughts, our understanding, our receptiveness, so that the time will be profitable for each one of us, and that You will be honored, be glorified and be pleased from the way we approach Your Word and from our receptiveness. My God, we beg for understanding. And even now I beg through Jesus Christ that as I direct and guide this study, that You will be with me, so that I will represent You correctly, my God, in all the things that I'll say today relative to the lesson under consideration. My God, may we be enlightened, may we be strengthened, may we be directed and be challenged through this lesson. My God, be honored, be glorified, and be pleased. I pray and beg these mercies and blessings through Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I said, the lesson will revolve mainly around the passage of Genesis 28, verse 10 following. There are many other passages that will come into the study, but the passage of Genesis 28 will be the main text. But I would like to begin by reminding us that unlike the law, unlike the brute beasts, as human beings, we were made with eternity in mind. I mean, every human being that has ever been born, we were so made by God that God fixed it that here and now was just a passing through. That here and now was our temporary home. And that beyond death, life will still go on, but outside of time, it will go on in eternity. And that is life for every man and every woman. No exception. Now, the lower beasts, they are different. They were made that when they die here, they are dead forever. Nothing about them have an afterlife to be considered. But in making human being with eternity in mind, along the way we got involved and contaminated in sin, literally missing the mark. You confuse me, dear Brother Mitchell. Along the way, after the Almighty God made us with living forever in mind, we took our own way and missed the purpose for which God placed us here. And when I pointed out just now, I said just now about missing the mark, The Hebrew word translated sin, and then the Greek word picks it up. The word amartia, if my memory serves me right, that's what it means to miss the bullseye, miss the mark, and that's what has happened to us because we have gotten sidetracked. We think working, earning, getting house and land and bank account and enjoying ourselves, we think that that is the main purpose of life. It isn't. Twice now I'm tempted to go to the wise man Solomon. But I'm resisting because there's so much to cover. You know, serve God, keep His commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. So we got contaminated, involved in sin, missing the purpose for which we were placed here. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, sin. Thank God I'm a decent person. That's wonderful. But you are still a sinner. Because we are told in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. That all, dear, means without exception. The one exception is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. Yes, we fell somewhere along the way, but it's not finished there. Not only we have quoted is Romans chapter 3 verse 23, and then in the same Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 again. Sin, that passage tells us, carry a payday. Sin, that passage tells us, carry a salary. Brother Mitchell, I love salary. You don't love this one. Because this one says that the wages of sin is death. Wait, that was not talking so much about physical death. That is the death where you go to a funeral and you can go and look and see the remain of the person, meaning the person is dead. That's not the emphasis in that passage. The emphasis in that passage is eternal death. The one that Revelation talks about, that you will be burned forever and ever. That's the Bible call it what, the second death, no? Yes. That's the death that Romans chapter 6, verse 23 talks about. In fact, listen to the passage. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. You see, the word eternal should qualify both death and life. So the wages of sin is eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Sin interrupts our eternal living and it endangers us. But you know what? God, through His love, His mercy, His grace, in Jesus Christ, made provision. In Jesus Christ and Christ's church. Mr. Mitchell, where the church comes in, it is part of God's eternal plan. Did you know the very same time that the Almighty God was planning out how one of the persons in the Godhead will have to take up humanity and come here and pay the ultimate sacrifice for our sin, is the same time God was planning for the church. So let me drop this right here. Because there is so much misunderstanding and ignorance about the church, not only out there in the denominational religious world, in the wider society, but even in the large church. This morning will be one of about two or three sermons on the church. What is the purpose? The title, if you want, is the church a better understanding of its importance and its divine purpose? So today's lesson, and probably two other lessons, is about a better understanding of the church and its divine purpose, its importance,
A while ago when I said that the Almighty God entered the picture to save man by making provision in Jesus Christ and the church for our forgiveness and salvation. Look at the passage of Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, look first at chapter 3, 4 through 11. And we'll be coming to chapter 1. Ephesians 4, 4 to 11. We are going in eternity now. Let us hear it, brother. Ephesians 4, yes. Chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 4 through verse 11.
Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge.
Whereby, when you read, that is in respect not only to the Ephesians to whom this letter was written, but I'm sure the Almighty God also wants that when you and I read, we will understand. It's important that we understand God's message for us. That when you read, you may understand.
Understand my knowledge.
My knowledge.
In the mystery of Christ.
In the mystery of Jesus Christ. A mystery is that which was once kept secret, hidden, but is now revealed. Read.
Which in other ages.
Yes, Paul is about to share with Ephesus. And with Patrick City. Something that throughout the ages was kept a secret by God. You know what? Not even the angel who ministered around the throne of God understood it or knew about it. So important was this secret that God kept it to himself. Read.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
So far, I think all of us understand that if we are listening. Something that was hidden in God, kept from man, kept from angel, but it is now revealed by the Almighty God. And you know what? We are privileged. That's right, because you and I are in the know. And if you are here this morning as a visitor and you have not been in the know before, you are in the know now because you are listening to this message. That God had something so vast, so awesome, so important, that God kept it to himself throughout the ages. But now, in Jesus Christ and through the apostle, and by extension in the New Testament, in the gospel, it is revealed. Read, brother.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ.
Wait. When the Bible mentions things like same body, don't take that for granted. You see, because that is part of God's secret that has been kept throughout the ages. That the Almighty God had a plan of salvation in Christ, in which God going to save Jews and Gentiles in two churches. How many bodies going to do it in?
One
body? It's important that you get that. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? One church! This was so important that God kept that to himself throughout the ages. In this lesson or another lesson, you are going to see that of all the awesome things that the Almighty God did, none was so out of this world that, you know what, none grab the attention, none arrest the attention of angel as this plan. Brother Mitchell, you mean when the Almighty God created this vast universe, no angel was not moved by that? You know why? Angel knew that God had the power to create many universes like this. But Brother Mitchell, what about when he created human beings? No. Angel knew that God had the power. Brother Mitchell, what about when the Almighty God gave the Sabbath to the Israelites? You see, right there I correct a mistake. He did not give the Sabbath to Adam, as some liars out there are telling you. You see, Adam knew nothing about the Sabbath. Yes, it was on Mount Sinai that God gave the Israelites the Sabbath. But that's no big thing for angels. What about when God divided the Red Sea? That's no big thing. Angel just stood by and watched it. They knew that God had the power. But you know what now struck angel? How God going to deal with man's sin? Because angel knew that God cannot stand still. They knew that. They knew that God's holiness, which governs, put it right. God's holiness, which gives rise to God's wrath. You see, if God were not holy, God wouldn't get vexed over sin. It is the holiness of God that gives rise to God's wrath. So angel knew that sin, to offend God, is not anything ordinary. So they were there watching, how is he going to deal with sin? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So of all the things that God did, nothing arrested the attention of angel as much as this. Brother, you are in Ephesians chapter 3, and somewhere around verse 5 or 6 or 7, verse 6,
Gentile.
That the Gentile should be fellow hearers
and of the same body
and of the same church
and the
Christ. Of the same church. But God, Mitchell, it says that. And the Bible tells me that when it speaks of the body in this type of context, it's talking about the church. If you don't believe me, turn to the book of Ephesians. We're not going to read it, but you can write it down if you are one of our beloved visitors. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 22, 20 through 23, somewhere about this. Read on, brother.
That the Gentiles should be fellow hearers of the same body.
Did it say same, brother?
Same body.
Same body. You sure it says same?
Same body.
Read on.
And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister.
Paul says, I was made a minister.
According to the gift of the grace
according
of God.
According to the gift of the grace of God.
Given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me.
Unto me. Who?
Who am less
than all saints.
Of all saints. is this grace given?
Given.
That I should preach among the Gentiles.
That I should preach. You see, brother, way Paul considered preaching the gospel as something. That's why he's making such a big thing here. That unto me, it is by God's grace, God's positive consideration that we are given the chance. Wait. Not just to preach the gospel, but to share the gospel with our co-workers, our friends, our neighbors. It is the grace of God working through us. It's an awesome privilege that we should always utilize and give God thanks that He has given us that privilege. Read, brother.
That I should preach among the Gentiles
the
unsearchable riches of Christ.
You hear that? The Bible is telling me here, thank God, that when it comes to God's positive plan for man, that is forgiveness of sin, fellowship with God, eternal life, eternal peace. The Bible refers to that as unsearchable riches. Riches that is inexhaustible. You cannot measure it, count it. You cannot use up all of it, never. And you cannot fathom its depth. Unsearchable riches. That's what the church, the gospel, is about. God's attempting to save man through Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. God, unsearchable riches. Read on.
And to make all men see.
And to make all men see.
What is the fellowship of
the
mystery?
What is the fellowship of the mystery?
Which from the beginning of the world.
Which from the beginning
of the world.
Of the world.
Has been
hid
in God.
In God.
Who created all things.
Who created all things.
By Jesus Christ.
What verse is that?
That's 9.
Read on.
To the intent.
With this in mind.
That no.
Wait, take time with me, brother. This is God's intent. This is what God in mind. All of this. What I have said before, Paul is saying to the church of Christ at Ephesus. This is the ultimate goal God has in mind. To the intent.
That no. Unto the principalities.
Unto the principalities.
And powers in heavenly places.
Wait. Brother Michel, what does that mean? That means the higher, the angels. Unto the principalities and the powers. Not on earth. You have just read there, you know, brother, before that. God wants all men to see.
Yes, sir.
But now he's addressing some other being. Mm-hmm. Those are the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the angels.
Mm-hmm. Might be known by the church, the manifold.
Wait, take time with me. Oh my God. Wait, Madam Jill, what you said when you begin? That because there is so much ignorance about the church, and I'm talking the one true church we read of in the Bible, because there's so much ignorance, not only out there in the wider religious world, but even in the large church, I felt the need over the past many months to have a series of lessons on the church. We read, you know, that there are he's going to do it in how many? The same, not just one, but the same one. Then the brother now reach another part in this inspired letter. Where the inspired writer Paul is saying to the Christians at Ephesus, and by extension to us, that all that I have said so far, Ephesians Christian, this is what God had in mind. That the Almighty God going to do what, brother?
To the intent that known to principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church.
Wait. It says the church. Brother Mitchell, do you have another name that the Bible used for church? Yes. It is the body of Christ. Brother Mitchell, do you have another name that the Bible used? It is the house of God. Huh? Do you have another word you can use? It is God's call out. That God going to use to enlighten the angel. Brother Mitchell, you know, say that. You weren't listening. So listen in what?
To the intent.
To the intent. That word to the intent means with this purpose in mind. Read.
That now unto the principality.
When?
Now.
Now that is since the coming of Christ and the gospel and the church. Now.
Unto the principalities and powers.
See, God is targeting, Brother Webb, the angel. He wants, and God knows that the angel over the centuries and decades and what, all this time they have been confused in respect to the fact that man sinned and man continues to live. They couldn't understand. Because they know that the very time a man sinned, he should die right then and there. They also know that God loves man and created man with eternity in mind. The angel could not understand. So they are going to send them to university. That's right. That's right. And that university is called the Church of Christ. Yeah, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known that it is the church that's going to teach them. That it is going to teach them the many-sided wisdom of God. Brother Mitchell, the word many-sided no use there. Yes, it used the word manifold. And that's what the word manifold means. It has many parts to it. What verse is that, brother?
That was 10.
Read 11.
According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
You all hear that? The eternal purpose here span the past, and it span the future. The plan that God made in Jesus Christ. And it includes the church. Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection to secure man's forgiveness and man's salvation in the church is God's greatest and most important work. Did I hear that preacher right? You heard me right. And look here, I challenge you. If you can ever think of anything God did from creation, including creation, that is as awesome and as great as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and man's salvation in Christ, bring it to my attention. I would like to know about it. Because the Almighty God considered this so awesome. Saving men and women, Jews and Gentiles, in Christ, in one church, the same church, that God did not divulge that, not even to the angels that serve along this church. Are we all there? Yes. greatest and most important work of the Almighty God. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 and 4. First Blessed. Peter chapter 1, read.
Blessed be the God and
Blessed
Father.
Blessed be the God.
And Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Wait, he has blessed us with all, not some, all spiritual blessings.
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
In Christ.
Wait, I like that. Notice. Oh my God. The word heavenly places there can be translated. In fact, it ought to be translated in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies. Bless us, Brother Webb. That's what it says?
Yeah. Bless us with...
Wait, take time with me now. Us. Us who? The Christian.
Yes.
Notice that when we are blessed, we are blessed where?
In heaven.
We are blessed in Christ and we are blessed in heavenly places or in the heavenly. Wait. Get it now? If you are a Christian in the church of Christ, God is blessing you in the heavenly. We are going to have reason to look at this word heavenly again. Because, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, when you become a child of God and you are in the church of Christ, you are in the heavenly. That's right. But hopefully we will speak more about that. Bless us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places.
In Christ.
In Christ.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
You get that? Wait, you get that? What it is saying? That the church, the body of Christ, was in God's scheme of redemption before he laid the foundation of this universe. Before the foundation of the world. You see, notice the passages talk about sinners being blessed in the heavenlies or heavenly places in Christ. That is talk about being Christian, being God's children in the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. And the passage is telling you that the Almighty God have a plan to include us from before the world was created. You get the point? Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4.
That's right.
I'm tempted to go to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 through verse 12. Read, brother.
Receiving the end of your faith,
mm-hmm.
even the salvation of your soul.
Uh-huh.
Of which salvation...
Wait, brother. Make sure you keep in mind. Notice what he's talking about. He's talking about our...
Salvation.
Read.
Receiving the end of your faith,
uh-huh.
the salvation of your souls.
Uh-huh.
Of which salvation...
Notice here, the salvation of your soul. You all get it? There is a God-like part in us. And that is what makes all the difference. Jesus Christ did not die for the cow and the goat and the pig. They do not have a spiritual soul. They do not have a God-like part. That's why we can eat them. Simply because they do not have a God-like part. There's nothing spiritual or divine about a lower animal. But when it comes to us, we were created in God's image. It's a different thing. So this is why we have a soul that can spend eternity in the eternal hell. or in the eternal heaven. But you know what? God wants it to be seen in the eternal heaven. So this is why the salvation of our soul is so important. Read, brother.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently.
You all hear that? When God hinted the prophet that he's going to save men and women eternally. The prophets, they wanted to know more. The prophets. That's why I put A there first. They wanted to know more. They became inquisitive because that's great news. Read on.
Search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
Yes, the grace. That is the grace that you and I now are enjoying. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in this audience like this morning, at the end of this lesson, you can simply step forward and give Jesus Christ your life and do some simple, let me put it this way, meet some simple condition Jesus Christ set. All the past sins in your life would be forgiven by God through Christ. You would have become a part of God's family. That's what the passage is. The grace that is available in Christ. The prophet wanted to know more about it. But they didn't. They wrote about it, but they didn't understand about it. Read.
Searching what?
They were searching what?
Or what manner of time?
What manner of time?
The Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify.
You see, the Spirit of Christ in the prophet didn't tell them and give them any detail about the church of Christ. How men and women would be forgiven and all of the running of the church. They didn't know. Read, brother.
When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ.
The suffering of Jesus Christ.
And the glory that should follow.
And the glory that should come after he suffered. Read that.
Unto whom it was revealed.
Unto whom, that is to the prophet, it was revealed.
That not unto themselves.
That what they wrote was not for them.
But
that's why God did not enlighten them more. But
unto us.
But unto us.
They did minister the things.
They minister, that is, the things they wrote.
Which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost.
Read, brother.
Sent down from heaven. Which things?
Wait. Which things?
The angels desire.
Wait, brother. Notice. Prophets became curious and salvation that you and I enjoyed in Christ and in the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. Prophets, but didn't understand, were inquisitive. But watch to angels who serve around the throne of God didn't understand it. You know they're going to understand it through the church of Christ.
Amen.
Read on, no brother.
The angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober.
Wait. The concept here, don't let the foolishness going on in the world get you distracted. You see, tie up your mind. You see, that is, get your mind under control, that it can focus on the right things. Gird up your mind. Then it says, be sober. No, act like you're a drunken person. Like you're under Jerry and nephew. Christian are sober people. And you notice here that Christianity is not an emotional thing. It is a mind thing. It is an intelligent thing. That's why you are called upon to Focus. Gird up the line of your mind. Read, brother.
And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
May I? As I said, nothing else has so arrested the attention of him as man's salvation in the body, a Christ which is the house of God, the church of Christ. Nothing has so arrested in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 through 15 is not a human institution. Repeat that. The true church that is spoken about in Matthew 16, 18 when Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. That same church spoken about in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But in case I tarry, I am writing these things, Timothy, that you may know how men are to behave themselves in the church, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm here saying to you this morning, this church is not a human institution. It's not of human origin. Though it is made up of human beings. That's right. The church is composed of human beings. But it did not come from human. It did not originate from human. It was not produced by human man. Way back in Genesis, from the beginning of time, the Almighty God revealed to Jacob some awesome truth, telling of the importance of the church and how it will be a part of God's scheme of redemption. Let us have the passage now, Genesis chapter 28. Verse 10 following. Let us have the passage.
And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went on to Haran.
Wait, Jacob was running away from his brother, having stolen his brother's birthright. He was, in a way, a fugitive. But the Almighty God had some great plan for Jacob. Read, brother.
And he lighted upon a certain place,
mm-hmm,
and tarried there all night because the sun was set.
That's right. The man was tired and night came down. Read.
And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows.
You know, every time I read that passage, I laugh. I said, now what we would do growing up in the country, we would get some green leaves, pack them together, make pillows. Jacob, you know, rough and tough, he just get a big stone and put it under his head. Read, brother.
And lay down in that place to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And he dreamed.
And he dreamt.
And behold, a ladder.
Ladies and gentlemen, yet this Almighty God is now giving Jacob a vision. But it is also a revelation and a prophecy about the church and about Jesus Christ. In fact, Jacob's vision dream revelation encompasses Jesus Christ and the church. Those are two of the main realities in this man's dream. Read.
And behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven.
Can you imagine that? A ladder reaching from earth to heaven. That's a good thing. Because, you know why it's a good thing? Because there has been a gulf between heaven and earth. That gulf needed to be bridged. There has been a gulf, a gap between man and God through sin. That gulf needed to be bridged. Read, brother.
And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac.
God said to Jacob, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham,
and the God of Isaac.
And the God of Isaac.
The land whereon thou liest.
The land whereon you lie.
To thee will I give it.
To thee will I give it.
And to thy seed.
And to thy seed.
And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed.
I have to bother that in one of the past that we can start here, because that is important stuff you're about to read. Take time and read that little part. Because you see, Brother Webb, what you're about to read is about Jesus Christ. That's right.
And in thee and in thy seed.
Brother Webb, notice seed is not pluralized.
No.
It is singular. Am I right?
And in thee and in thy seed.
In thee and in thy seed. If it is pluralized, the translation made a mistake. It's not supposed to pluralize, it is singular. Because that seed there is not referring to the thousands and hundreds of thousands of Israelites, it's referring to Jesus Christ. In thee and in thy
seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
That's about Jesus Christ. The same promise the Almighty God made to Abraham in almost the exact word. It's now being renewed in Jacob and in this awesome dream about Christ and the church. What verse is that, brother?
That's 14.
And
behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not.
The Lord is in this place, and I didn't know. Wait, brothers and sisters. The impression you get here is that the bottom of the ladder was resting right where Jacob was sleeping. That's right. And as you're going to notice, well, read it, brother.
And he was afraid.
He was afraid.
And said, how dreadful
how
is this?
Dreadful. How dreadful. You thought the Rasta talk about dread? No, sir. If you want to know about dread, consult God. How full of dread is this place?
This is none other.
This is none other.
But the house of God.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, this is absolute revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, this kind of truth has not previously been revealed to anybody. The truth you are hearing here, that this is none other but
the house
of God.
Of God.
And this
and that the house of God is the gate
of heaven.
Of heaven. This is awesome. This is a heavenly truth that men and women can never get to heaven if they do not find themselves in God's house. This is a dreadful place. It is nothing else and nothing more than the house of God. And you know that? The house of God is the gate of heaven. How did Jacob come to that? Because the ladder where messenger from heaven could be coming down right there and from earth going up right there. That's the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, time. But let me. As I said, this was revelation, it was vision, and it was prophecy. The ladder, I'm just making a few closing remarks and we'll pick up next week. The ladder from earth reaching heaven is reminding us that there is a gulf between heaven and earth. And that the only one who can bridge that gap is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the ladder. Listen, Jesus Christ in the passage of St. John chapter 1 and verse 51. Yes, St. John 1, verse 51.
And he saith unto him,
Jesus Christ speaking,
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
What has happened? Jesus Christ had just done something that made his disciple, or one of them, mad. Go on thinking that verse, brother, the verse above, that's verse 29, I think. I think it, I didn't want to go there because we are finishing up here now. The apostle, our disciple, marveled about something Christ did and commented on it.
Verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying,
That is John the baptizer. Yeah.
I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
That verse is that.
That's 34.
Yes, you've gone too far. I was hoping you would get closer to find a verse here in about chapter 1, verse somewhere between 48, 49, 50, somewhere there.
Nathaniel, verse 40.
Nathaniel.
verse 48, saith unto him.
Thank you, brother. That's right. Nathanael.
Whence knowest thou me?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said unto him,
uh-huh.
Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee.
Uh-huh.
And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, and thou art the King.
Wait. You need to get me. Jesus Christ said to Nathanael, when Jesus Christ called Nathanael, and Nathanael said, it's like, how did you know my name? Jesus Christ said, I saw you from you were in the tree. But Nathanael knew that that is our most impossible. Because Christ wasn't there. Nathanael acknowledged that Christ must be divine to be so great, to have seen him way back then, or at that distance. Pick up the earth, brother.
Rabbi, thou art the Son of God.
You are, in fact, the Son of God.
Thou art the King of Israel.
You are the King of Israel, thou am convinced.
Mm-hmm. Jesus answered and said unto him,
that's right.
Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou?
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt see greater things than these.
What Jesus Christ is going to do is make the connection between the ladder and himself. The ladder of Jacob, some 2,800 years before Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ in 51.
And he said unto him,
Jesus Christ said to Nathanael,
verily, verily, I say unto
you. Wait. When Jesus Christ used the word truly, truly, in any passage Christ used that phrase, it means he is about to reveal awesome new truth. Anywhere in the gospel you see the word verily, verily, it indicates that Christ is about to reveal awesome truth to his heart. Verily, verily,
I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open,
uh-huh,
and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son,
brother,
of man.
That's the same phrase that we read in Genesis 28 and around verse 16 and 22. You see angels descending and ascending, but in this case, they were doing it on the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the ladder of Jacob's dream. Jesus Christ is the one who bridged the gulf that separates man from God. And next week, we will pick up on the stone and the place Jacob used the stone that he had for pillar and set it up and said, this is the house of God, and the house of God is the day of heaven. We beg that come back next week to understand more about the house of God. To understand why is it that the house of God is the gate of heaven. Next week you are going to learn more that any place that is enclosed, any house, any edifice, to enter that place, you will have to find the door or the gate. No man can ever reach heaven this side of the cross of Jesus Christ if that person does not find the house of God, which is the gate of heaven. If you are here this morning
You at least have heard that Jesus Christ is the one who bridged the gap, who spanned the gulf that separates man from God, heaven and earth. And that on Jesus Christ, the bridge or the ladder, we can use him to get to God. But you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. You must, and you can do that this morning. We're going to stand. And we are going to sing a song. It will be a chance for you to respond to Jesus' invitation. But I remind you, you and I and every human being on this earth, we were created with eternity in mind. Our lives were never meant to end here, and it will not end here, whether you believe in God or not. But if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, and repent of your sin, confess faith in Christ and get baptized for the removal of your sin, Jesus Christ will add you to his safe family. That is what is called the house of God. And you will be on your way to heaven at whatever time you are called home to eternity. We are now appealing to your intelligence, your good sense, not to leave here and don't make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Not to leave here and don't get in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Let us stand.